Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now.
The fourth spiritual work of mercy, which we're going to reflect on today, is to comfort the afflicted, comforting those who struggle with sorrow and with pain. We read in Isaiah 40, verse 1, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." To comfort someone means to bring relief to their sufferings and also to give them encouragement and hope as well. This is a work of mercy, especially suited for nurses and doctors, for those who have care of the sick. If they do their work for a supernatural motive, meaning that they do it for love of God and for love of their neighbor, then it actually can be a sanctifying work. Those who have the gift of healing as well, particularly graced to be able to practice this work of mercy, but in truth, it's a work of mercy for all of us to practice in some way, shape, or form. A big part of our Lord's mission was to bring comfort to those who suffer. In his first sermon, recorded in Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, we read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn." So Christ's mission is one of healing and comfort. So when we bring that to others, we're literally sharing in his mission, sharing in God's mission. We should try to help others find comfort in God's promises, in his love, and in his mercy. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise, Lord, gives me life." God's promise is that he'll take care of us. He'll take care of those who belong to him. And we need to convey that to those whose hearts are pressed down or whose thoughts are filled with grief or worry or discouragement. One of the most important ways that we can comfort those who suffer or those who are afflicted is simply by offering them compassion and understanding. You comfort others with your compassionate presence, essentially. Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they did their best work of comforting Job when they were just staying beside him and keeping their mouth shut, keeping silent, essentially. When they opened their mouths and they started pontificating on why Job was suffering, they not only increased his suffering, but they were wrong too. They were wrong in their conclusions. They were telling Job that it was because of his sins that he was suffering, but that wasn't the case. It was because God wanted to prove Job's faithfulness and also increase his blessings. So sometimes we're suffering not because of our own sins, but we're suffering because God wants maybe to purify us. He wants us to increase our capacity to receive his grace and his love. Or we're suffering for the benefit of others who need his grace, who need the grace of conversion, the grace of a changed life. Essentially, we're suffering so that we can be channels of grace for those people, which is exactly what Jesus and Mary did in their earthly life. They did for us. We need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit what we should say to those who are suffering and what's the best way to console them as well. We can have the right intentions in what we're saying and what we're doing, but we also need to have the right spirit. We need to have the Holy Spirit. We need to have him guide us in our words and in our interactions with those who suffer, because people who suffer, those of us who suffer, we tend to be much more fragile when we're suffering as well. I need to think, as I would want someone to do to me when I'm suffering, what do? I should try to do that for them. That's the golden rule. The Apostle Paul talks about comfort at the beginning of his second letter to the Corinthians. We read in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ do we share abundantly in comfort too." One of the ways that God comforts us is by giving us the Holy Spirit, which we heard today's first reading. The Holy Spirit provides us with inner consolation when we're struggling. In some English translations of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is even called the Comforter. We read that at the Lord's Supper, Last Supper discourse, in John 14, verses 16 and 26, John 15, 26, and John 16, verse 7. And we've noted before that the Greek word that's used there at the Last Supper for the Holy Spirit, parakletos, it has the same root word as the Greek word comfort. Comfort in Greek is paraklesis, very similar even phonetically. The root word of both of them is kaleo, so the Holy Spirit, the counselor or the paraclete, is also God's comforter at the same time. In fact, in Acts 9, verse 31, we read that the early church grew and multiplied, quote, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, says St. Luke. So the Holy Spirit is not a discourager. He's an encourager. He's a comforter. Thoughts and words of discouragement don't come from Him. They don't come from God. So a lot of times we need to avoid the temptation also to blame or accuse someone who's suffering or afflicted. So we need to pray about what to say and what not to say to them. We might be right about our observations and our criticisms, but as we tend to say, being right and being Christ-like is not always the same thing. It's not always exactly the same. In Isaiah 49, verse 13, we read this, sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted His people and will have compassion on His afflicted. God has not forgotten you in your sufferings. And He promises that He's allowing these difficulties to bring you closer to Him, to bring a greater good out of it. That's why He's allowing it. Also, it would be good to ask ourselves and maybe to ask others as well, what's God trying to teach me in this suffering? What's the lesson? If we ask the Lord to enlighten us, sometimes He'll give us an understanding in that area. Or He'll give the other person who's suffering an understanding as to why He's allowing this. And sometimes that little glimpse into God's will and into His reasonings is enough to put us at peace. Or it's the insight that we might need to make a correction in our life that God is wanting us to make, right? Sometimes the sufferings are actually corrections. God wants us to learn a lesson. He wants us to get back on track spiritually. The story of the prodigal son off in the distant country, starving and without any money, relates that principle pretty well. Perfect example of God's correction to get him back on track. Lastly, today, one of the titles of Our Lady is that she is the consoler or the comforter of the afflicted. St. Louis de Montfort tells us that Mary has the role of making the crosses in this life sweeter and more acceptable. So like her son, Our Lady was a woman of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53, verse 3. Like her son, she learned obedience from what she suffered, Hebrews 5, verse 8. Like her son, she's able to sympathize with our weaknesses, and she was tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4, 15. So being the assistant and the helper of Christ, as Eve was the helper of Adam, Genesis 2, 18, Our Lady helped immeasurably in making our Lord's cross more bearable. Fixing His gaze on her, Jesus found the strength to carry His cross and to carry out the Father's will. So Our Lady was His number one consolation in this life. And we can say she remains His number one consolation in all eternity as well. So if Our Lady was given to Jesus in part to be His source of consolation and comfort in the dark moments, how much more is she able to help us in that? Thus, us who were her children as well, too. But to find that comfort and solace, you know what we have to do? We need to turn to Our Lady. We need to call out to her. We need to spend time with her in prayer. She, the spouse of the Comforter, with a capital C, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, will meet us where we're at. She'll give us the grace and the encouragement we need to be able to bear our sufferings and also to see God's hand in them as well. As we always say, whatever God allows, He allows it for our good. As strange as that may sound to us, especially when we're suffering, right? As difficult as it may be to accept at times, that's the truth. Our Lady will help us to be abandoned and surrendered to God's will if we entrust ourselves to her. So let's ask our Blessed Mother for the grace to know how to comfort those who are afflicted and who are suffering. And maybe we could ask her also to help us to see and understand who may be suffering in silence, too. We don't even know about it. No one knows about it. Only God knows about it. God might want us to be the one who extends a helping hand to some of the silent sufferers around us. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.